upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Showtime.
No, I'm just kidding. You messed me up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
We're flying solo today, my friend. Just me and you. No guests.
No guests. We've got a couple of prospects, yeah. But it'll be a minute.
We do. Want to start off with a prayer, then we'll get everything started.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we just want to lift this whole process up to you. We want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to do it. Father, we've surrendered ourselves to you. We surrender our tongues and our thoughts to you. And just allow everything that comes out to be from you, Father. Allow us to be the voices and not the words, Father. We just also want to lift up anybody who's listening right now that they may be struggling physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, that in you they will find rest and peace, Father God. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Do we want to talk about sports?
I'm a little disappointed with last night.
So we watched our first Mavericks game together ever, and they looked like crap. And then they came back and pulled that series out against the Clippers. And then last night started out with Oklahoma City and got spanked.
Hope that's not a.
We are 0-5 under Jason Kidd in game ones. 0-5.
Oh.
Yeah. So, but they've been to the conference finals with Jason Kidd. So.
Yeah.
Can't be all that bad.
Yeah. I don't think it falls on his shoulders. I think it's more of which they should know OKC by now anyways.
It's a division team. Yeah, you got to beat them.
You should know them by now. But yep. I don't know. I kind of feel like it's just like surprise.
Well, you got to be prepared in any game, but also hockey. Dallas Stars are playing at the same time. They're playing on the same days. It's frustrating. So the Stars went – I mean, they're the number one seed in the West. They end up with playing the wild card Vegas, who should not be a wild card, but they dealt with injuries all season, and then they got healthy right before the playoffs. They took us to the brink, ended up winning game 7. Then last night we're playing, again, a division rival in Colorado. Went up 3-0 in the first period and lose 4-3. Come on, man. What are you doing, boys? Yeah. This is a Stanley Cup team. What are we doing?
Yeah. So,
but, you know, you don't – that's why there's 7-game series and not one.
Yeah.
Still frustrating. I went to bed. I didn't have to watch it.
I didn't have a choice. I was smoked when I got home last night. So
yeah, you got a different life now. Your schedule being different than it was. And I wouldn't say level of responsibility. I mean, probably same – less – intense level of responsibility, but it just kind of – it's just different. Like, it's differently defined than it was as a business owner.
Yeah, it definitely is. And plus, you know, nothing kept me from just being like, oh, hey, I'm done for the day. I'm out here, and that's not what happens anymore.
Yeah, you don't get a choice in that matter. Yeah. But that'll some of that will ease over time, I would assume. Like, you know, you'll get to where it'll be more consistently. You can, you know, go to lunch.
Yeah.
And you know, walk out at 5:15 instead of 6:15 and things like that. But you'll get there one step at a time.
Yeah, I'll get there. I hope.
No, I will. We're going to speak it into existence, yes, Jason. Sir. Remember what we talked about, yes, about sir. The power of our words.
I wanted to open with an email.
An email, yes, sir.
That we got.
Yes, yeah, so we won't read this email out per se, but the friend of ours who was the first, one of the first to actually send us something and ask us some questions brought up the topic of intrusive thoughts, which we talked about in episode 19, I believe it is. Reached out to us again, and they're struggling a little bit and maybe needed some help, walking through a situation. And really it's about, I think it kind of goes in line with intrusive thoughts, but this is dreams, right? And more specifically, dreams that are of the explicit sexual nature. And, you know, as men, we've all had them. And, you know, from what I understand, this friend of ours tries very hard to keep themselves from having lustful behaviors, which is awesome. It's very difficult in this world, but I hate to see that they kind of might be beating themselves up over some dreams that they're having of the sexual nature. And also, they brought a scripture from Job talking about God speaking to us in our dreams, and maybe they might be feeling as though these are coming from God. And I would say, based on what I see from them, that if you're feeling shame over something, that did not come from God.
Yeah, no, sir.
First and foremost, because God is not going to do anything that's going to do that to you.
No, sir.
He wants to remove shame from you, and he wants you to understand that you don't have to live in shame anymore. That's why there is, therefore, no condemnation.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The other thing about it is, too, like, we're going to say the word wet dreams, okay? So, like, I don't know if women have these, but men have sexually explicit dreams where there is a discharge at the end of it. And you wake up and you're like, what happened? Did I pee myself? No. You know, it actually happened. I know this is not for the faint of heart, but we got to be real and honest, right? My brother's over here feeling really uncomfortable right now. Man. It's just rip the Band-Aid, all right? I can't dance around it forever.
Oh, dude, this is freaking funny.
But, you know, your body works in ways on purpose, right? And I think biologically speaking, those things happen on purpose. Like your body is trying to expel something from you, and it has to.
Yeah.
It's a way for it to process something. So, yeah, I understand having the vivid dreams and what could possibly be taking place in those dreams. You know, again, sexually explicit. Basically, think about dreams in pornography. You know what I mean? Pornographic dreams. And again, this friend of ours is telling us that they abstain from that. They avoid pornographic imagery and stuff like that. But, man, if you're on social media, if you're watching regular television and you're listening to regular music, all that stuff, you're not avoiding it completely. There's no way.
Yeah.
Not in the world we're in now. No. It sex sells everything.
Oh yeah. And it's everywhere. It's like our morals have bended so much. They've broke.
Yeah. It's decayed. And we sold the truth for a lie, right?
Yeah.
It's decayed to the point that,
yeah,
we're just, and again, we're in the world, and so, like, we have to struggle with it too, right? And, like, we're trying to use social media platforms to help us grow our community as a podcasters and things like that, but you're refraining right now from the most popular one, which is TikTok. For what reason? Because you start seeing things that don't belong, that you don't need, and you don't want that sensory.
I don't want that intake.
Right.
You know?
I'm staying on it. Really, I push. All I'm doing is pushing stuff out, yeah. And I check it to see, you know, analytics like who's how many likes, how many views, how many followers we've got, and all that kind of stuff. And you know, again, the biggest thing is that I want our friend to understand here is don't beat yourself up here. This is. I think what you're teetering on and what you're feeling are two things. Number one, you're feeling as though you're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
When it's not something that you can control.
It. Literally speaking, no.
Yeah. No, I understand what you're talking about, but where you're going to go.
Hypothetically speaking, yes.
As far as your intake, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
I still think, though, I would say.
I don't care how much you don't. I don't care how much preventative thought processing you do and stuff. With how readily available that stuff is in the world today, something somewhere is going to be seen.
Just walk down the street.
Dude, open YouTube.
I told you earlier.
I just told you. Yes. Yeah. I was looking for our bumper sticker wisdom. I'm not looking. I'm typing in the search bar, you know, well-endowed women showing their nipples or anything, you know.
And that's what you get.
And I'm looking for bumper sticker wisdom. I'm on my For You page scrolling through the shorts.
Yep.
And there it is.
Yep.
And I was like, what the?
I know, right? And again.
It was a chick doing yoga with a half shirt, and she's all bent backwards, and the whole bottom half of her boobs is hanging out. I was like, what is happening right now? The last time I was on YouTube, it's probably been.
Last time I knew, you couldn't put sexually explicit content on YouTube.
No. And I haven't been on YouTube probably 6-8 months maybe. No, I take that back. I have been just to check our.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter. Hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Our stuff, right. Our stuff. And I haven't seen it up until today.
Yeah, I didn't think that was available to the masses. I really didn't. But apparently things have changed.
Yeah.
And again, even if you avoid everything, you avoid all the social media platforms, you avoid YouTube, TikTok, all that, you watch only faith-based streaming services and movies and listen to only faith-based music and all that kind of stuff, walk around.
Go to a restaurant.
Go to the grocery store. Go to a baseball game or a race, a NASCAR race. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
You know, go to the beach. You know. You're going to see things that maybe are not going to help you avoid those kinds of thinking. And yes, we are supposed to be in control of our thoughts, but we're not perfect. Yeah. And I think that's something that we try to push out all the time. We weren't called to be perfect. Christ was, and he did. And he's who we should be looking towards, right? If you're looking at John Traylor to be perfect because he's a follower of Christ, I'm going to disappoint you.
Yeah.
Right?
Only human.
Only human, not God.
Yep. Only human.
So, you know, I'm sure they're listening. They will be listening. We just want you to know that we're praying for you. We love you. Sorry that you're dealing with that. Don't let that beat you up, man. I think you are a follower, definitely seeking the Lord. Every time you've reached out to us, you send us scripture. This specifically was in Job, which is an interesting book of itself. And, you know, again, You're not perfect, but this isn't something that you should be ashamed of. And if it's something you're ashamed of, God's not giving it to you.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things he kind of said. He was afraid that.
Oh, absolutely. If you're having any kind of embarrassing feelings, any kind of shame, any kind of if you're questioning it any at all,
yeah,
then it's not coming from God.
Yeah. You know, and again, it kind of goes back to the conversation we had about taking our thoughts captive.
Yeah.
But that's only you cannot do that in sleeping hours.
No, maybe, but I don't know. I mean,
I haven't been.
You're gonna have to go through some. You know, like you can go through like mental coaching or whatever. Some of that kind of stuff where they say that you can control everything that goes on into your mind and stuff like that. But
I still think intake has a lot to do with that, though. I mean, again, you look at the world around you. Subliminally, you're taking in things that you aren't even aware of. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how you avoid it. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that this is an ongoing issue for me or anything like that, but it's not like it's never happened to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think that what I hope that that our friend doesn't do here is allow that to define their relationship with Christ, because that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Christ paid the penalty for everything that you would do. And yeah, we should avoid all types of sexual immorality and all types of nefarious behavior, all types, right? We should be in control at all times. But even Paul talked about the thorn in the flesh and talking about knowing what I should do but not doing it, and knowing what I shouldn't do and still doing it. Like, but do you – Christ loves you. Christ is our advocate. God loves you. Your sin was washed white. Right, his blood ran red, so your sin would be washed white. He will remember your sin no more.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't mean you won't sin anymore. It just means God's not looking at it anymore. But that's when you come to Christ, right? That's what that's all about. But that's only the first step. And every day we're supposed to try to be closer and closer to like Christ. Our responsibility is to be examples of Christ. But we are not going to do it perfectly.
Yeah.
It's not possible. And we don't get the benefit of living in the time of Christ.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You know.
Yo, I almost did it.
You almost sneezed.
Almost.
I saw it. I was like, I'm going to mute his mic. Ah! So anyway, I hope that helps. Sorry. I got a little graphic there. I know that's weird and that's uncomfortable. Right. Most men don't want to talk about things like that, especially with other men. I know they don't want to talk about that with women. But, you know.
I would talk about it with my wife before I would anybody else.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy. I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable. I was just trying to, I mean, you know, it's a kind of a natural thing. It's kind of something that we go through. I would check, you know. okay. I will drop it now.
No, it just the way that you brought it up was just like.
I tried to do it as innocently as I could.
I know, and if the person that sent us this is listening, please know that I'm not laughing in your direction. I was genuinely laughing at my brother's presentation.
I tried really hard, but I can't, you know, I vow to speak the truth and to be open and honest and, you know,
yeah,
whatever. It's again, it's not a laughing matter. It's not a joking matter. It's not at all. I just,
no.
Because clearly our friend is struggling and feels a certain type of way about this thing. And I hope
the best thing that I can say, if they're listening, is don't put all the pressure on your shoulders because you are going to screw up.
Right.
Just understand that you're not alone. Several people have dealt with this in their lives, more than half probably. And, you know, just keep your head up.
Yep.
This too shall pass.
Yeah,
basically is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So I had a also I'll kind of move on from that, so quit making you feel uncomfortable. But something came up, and we kind of started talking about prayer before, but not really talked about it. We kind of talked about how to pray, and you know, really, if you break down the Lord's Prayer, it kind of gives you a guide. It's not telling you to recite this; it's just giving you kind of follow these kind of steps. But something that came up, I saw somebody talking about prayer time and like how I'm guilty of this 100%, how I'm kind of including God in my day, right? Like praying while I'm working, praying while I'm driving, praying while I'm at the gym, or praying whatever, whatever.
Praying while I shower.
Praying while I shower. And it's really kind of inviting God into your space, into your day. Calling it an inclusive prayer. None of those things being wrong. None of those things being bad, right? But what he was talking about was like, again, we talked a little bit about intentionality in the last episode and being intentional. What he was talking about is about making prayer time exclusive, like inviting yourself into God's space and like making that time exclusive to him and, you know, instead of inviting him into yours, right?
Yeah.
And again, I think it comes down to intentionality, and I don't know, it's a little bit challenging to me to think about. Like, I like to think that I pray all the time, but, you know, when I start thinking about that and thinking of it in that way, I start to go, well, I don't know. Is my prayer life all that good?
Yeah, am I taking my moment of silence to
right.
really? My mom talks about getting it or her alone time.
Yeah.
And I think she said her alone time used to be in her closet. Of course, now she lives by herself, but I think she said her alone time used to be in her closet.
Kind of reminds me of War Room. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. It's really good. It's hard to watch, but it's good. Right. It's just emotionally speaking.
Yeah. But she goes to a quiet place and
okay, yeah, so think about that, too.
She calls it her quiet time.
Christ talked about people who pray in the public.
Yes.
Right? But they're, again, I think, I don't want to, I don't think it's wrong to pray in public, per se.
As long as you're not, look at me, look at me.
Exactly. That's a heart issue situation. But he actually talks about going away and getting behind closed doors by yourself.
Yeah.
And making time, getting time with God. And if you actually mimic Christ or pay attention to what Christ did, there would be times when he would go away. I'm going to go, and he would go to pray by himself, getting away from everybody else. But I don't think that that's like he never prayed in front of people or with people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How can I pray for somebody? How can I come into agreement with somebody if I don't pray in their presence?
Yeah. Or with them.
Or with them. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's wrong, but I think that there's a lot to be said about being intentional and taking time. Prayer is part of that. I actually mentioned to Aiden was on a couple of weeks ago. He's been sending me scripture every day, like asking me questions. And I'm like, bro, you know what? I know it might seem like it because I send out daily verses and stuff like that.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
You said yesterday, I sent, or yesterday or the day before, one of our friends, our group was asking for prayers for wisdom, and I fired off a scripture. that I didn't know off the top of my head. I knew what I knew it kind of, I knew I could find it. And you were like, man, I just think it's awesome that you always have a scripture and readily available. But I don't spend as much time in the word as I should.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not in it like that. You know, same with the prayer time. It's like, and I'm not beating myself up, but it's something that I think that we should be aware of, right? It's kind of, again, we talked about it in the last episode with our relationships with our men's group about we recognize that there's an issue there that, like, it's not bad. Like, things are good. We have a good group, and these guys are, but we're kind of cliquish.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
We're not taking the time to spend intimate time with them outside of doing this, you know what I mean? And doing the things that we enjoy. Yeah. Like we were talking about in The Chosen, that when the guys were all in the Jordan River or whatever playing, like playing chicken, yeah. You know, which is awesome. It's not wrong to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think God didn't want us to be unhappy.
Yeah.
You know, he wants us to have joy and have fun.
Yeah.
But I think this is kind of the same thing. We're recognizing that there may be an issue. And yeah, when I first started taking part in the altar ministry, I think it bulked up my prayer life a bit. It kind of changed my prayer life a bit. But I still don't think I'm all that intentional with my prayer time.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm very intentional with reading God's word either.
Yeah.
So I think it kind of boils down to intentionality, right? And like recognizing that something probably needs to change.
Yeah.
And it's not a thing to like focus on and beat myself up over or anything like that, because I am looking at God's word daily and stuff like that, but I'm not studying. Does that make sense? Like I'm not reading and reading and reading. I kind of,
you know, sorry to interrupt, but you know, part of the biggest reason that I wanted to kind of drop the TikTok thing for a while was because I wanted to concentrate on reading the Bible.
Yeah.
I read less of it now than I did then.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? You're going through some change right now too, though, like as far as your professional life is.
But you would think with that, because I always felt like that was eating up time that I could have spent. Well, when I say reading the Bible, I let my Bible read to me,
which is fine.
But that I felt like I could have spent more time doing that. Now, of course, my productivity around everywhere has gone through the roof because I hardly ever. I used to have to charge my phone about 4:30, 5 o'clock. I'd have to plug my phone in because, you know, I'd get the old thumb action going.
swipe.
Yeah, swiping like crazy.
Yeah.
And so I thought, man, if I'm gonna spend so much time on this, why shouldn't I just focus that time on scripture? And since then, I deleted it immediately following getting baptized.
Right.
So that was 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Yeah. Coming up on 4 weeks.
It has been that long, hasn't it?
Yes.
Wow.
April 21st.
That's right. It was the yes. Sunday before my birthday. Okay,
yes.
I got you. What a birthday present that was for me.
It was amazing. But that being said, you know, I started my job that Monday.
Right.
So I got baptized Sunday, started my job Monday.
Yep.
So.
Which the transition there has been intense, to say the least. I mean, there's times when you're hitting me up at 6 a.m., you're already at work, and 6 o'clock at night, you're still at work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's not the case. That was not the case.
No. Well, like, I got to work 5:30 this morning. And by the time I got everything opened up and got all my stuff ready to go, people were already filing in. Like, I still wasn't there early enough. Because that's my gig. If I feel rushed, my day starts out like crap. So I like to get everything opened up, get my coffee, mm-hmm. You know, get my computer fired up.
Yeah.
You know, it usually takes me about 10, 15 minutes to get the shop opened up, get the offices opened up, computer on. And then got there at 5:30 this morning.
Are you taking that above and beyond? Are you taking that upon yourself to do all that?
I do it. Yeah, I do it for – it's a head thing for me anyways. First off, I'm a freak about – I'm a freak about my how I get my day started, and I'm a creature of habit. So if I do something one day, then and I like it, then I'm gonna do it that way every day.
Yeah. So I got you,
and that's kind of how it started. Yeah. Right off the bat, I was asked to like open.
Gotcha.
So I started opening, and then after that, it was like, oh, no.
Well, so that's part of. You're going through an adjustment period there, right? Yeah. So, again, I would always caution, don't beat yourself up. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting some scripture every day. I send something to you every day. Yeah. I'm sure you're seeing it other places, too, sometimes daily. But I don't say any of that to beat myself up or to beat anybody else up or you or anything like that, but it's like I think I'm recognizing something. I'm recognizing this person, this pastor, made me recognize that, you know, I'm kind of making God convenient for myself instead of me making myself convenient to God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Because he deserves 100% of me, right? He deserves all of my time, all of my effort. I also know that my God understands what we deal with. He knows
100% of your love, 100% of your joy.
Yeah.
Everything.
My worship.
Yep.
My praise. But I also know that God knows what we deal with. Like, he knows the pressure that goes into providing for a family nowadays.
Yeah.
He's known that forever. Again, there's no excuse there. I'm not making excuses for myself. I think that I'm recognizing that I need to find space. There is space. There is space. I can make up all the reasons in the world that I don't have time, but there's time. There is time. Every day. Even if it's 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute.
Yeah.
Start with 1 minute, but enter his space instead of inviting him into yours.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that that's kind of where it kind of took me. So.
It's good, valid points.
Yeah. Well, God's going to meet you right where you are.
Yeah.
That's how awesome he is. Like, he's going to take what it, okay, that's, let's put it this way. All of my kids are grown, right? All of my children are grown now. And, you know who I am, you know how I wouldn't say antisocial, but how not real excited for socialism, socializing I get at times, especially like, you know, Sunday afternoons, I really don't want people showing up at my house and things like that. And I think I've given off the impression to some of my kids that when they've shown up that I don't want them there. And it's not like that, right?
Yeah. But you also, they also have to understand that they know how you are.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a surprise to them anyways.
No, it shouldn't.
I mean.
But at the same time, what I think that they fail to recognize is I actually crave their presence.
Yeah.
I actually crave their time. But I crave them calling.
Just like me, you have that, you want that forewarning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would prefer if you hit me up. Hey, I'm going to come over for a minute.
Hey, mind if I swing by for a minute?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not going to say no.
I would never say no.
But it's the surprise element that's kind of like.
But also, too, like, I think what I'm getting at is I'm thinking about it from God as a father, right? I think he desires our time. He desires our presence. He wants to know how we're doing, you know, even though he knows, right? But, I mean, get this image in your head, like, yes, he knows everything, and I think that's where we kind of get in. We fall into that trap of, well, he already knows.
Yeah.
Why do I need to get in his space? Why do I got to make time for him? He already knows, right?
Yeah. Well, that's also like saying, I know my mom loves me. Why do I need to spend time with her?
I know my wife loves me. She knows I love her. Why do I got to tell her?
Yeah.
Why
it's the
her?
Same.
Yeah.
So that's the same exact explanation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is, and it makes me feel shameful. But we're all guilty of it,
huh.
Right? We're all guilty of it. And I think that, again, it comes down to that, like,
you know I'm thinking of you, Wash.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Should I have to tell you good morning?
Right. But do you know how it makes me feel? Do you know how it makes me feel when one of my kids reaches out to me and said, hey, man, I just checking in. I was thinking about you.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know how that makes me feel?
Yeah.
And I think about that from God, right? This is the creator of all the universe. And again, he is exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we could ever ask or think. Like, we can't comprehend God. But he wants our relationship. He wants us to take the time to sit at his feet and be like, I love you, Dad. Yeah. You know? Checking in. How are you? How are you, Father? Yeah. How are you, God? You know? Have you ever thought about asking God, how are you doing?
Yeah.
I've never thought about it until just now. Like, have you ever thought about that? Will he give you a response? I don't know, maybe. In a way, I'm sure he'll give you something in your heart. Probably something more like...
That's another thing, too. Sometimes I feel like God's telling me something. Mm-hmm. But I'm having a hard time deciphering what it is.
Yeah.
Like, I've told you the story about in Denver, that kid.
Yeah.
That was God talking to me, and I did not obey, and that was...
And you've been kicking yourself in the rear end ever since.
Yeah, and it was immediately, I was very ashamed of not going and doing my due diligence to make sure that this kid wasn't, you know, something bad wasn't going to happen to him.
Or, right. You know, I got you.
But, yeah, I don't know. That's a prime example of when you don't listen.
Yeah.
Immediately know.
Bro, and we are all guilty of that, man. Again, don't beat yourself up over it. Probably every day there is something or someone that I encounter where I feel like God's telling me to do something and I don't.
Yeah.
Do I have an excuse? No, I don't. I don't have a reason for it.
Yeah.
Not prepared for it, not ready for it. Well, you're never going to get ready for it if you don't do stuff.
No.
Stuff. We're really trying really hard to stop doing that. But, again, I don't know. For whatever reason, that thought just now, thinking about, have you ever asked God, how are you?
Yeah.
It kind of really hit me hard just now.
Yeah.
To think about. Because I want that as a father. I want my children to say, how are you? You know, and a few weeks ago, we had a conversation about having some discouragement over feeling like my kids only reach out when they need something, right?
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that some of that was taken in a outside of how I wanted it to be taken. Like, I don't want them to not reach out to me if they need something.
Yeah.
That's not what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say was, I want you to do that because who else is going to care like I do, but I also want you to not do that. I want you to reach out to me just because you want to, not because you have to. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm afraid that it might have been taken that way, and I don't want it to be, you know? And I don't think that's what God wants either.
Yeah.
I don't think God wants you to not come to him when you need something. I think he wants you to come to him when you need something. You need to. You have to.
Yeah.
But I also think he wants you to just check in on him and just say, I love you, man. Yeah. I'm glad to be here with you today.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for your love and your patience. Thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your wheels are cranking hard, man. I can see the smoke coming out of your eyes. And I wish you would, sometimes I want you to just kind of let it go.
Yeah.
But you don't.
Yeah, I know. I just, you know how I get.
Sometimes. Sometimes.
I wouldn't say I'm distracted. I would just say that I'm still have a lot of stuff going on upstairs.
Yeah, I understand that too. But it's hard because, you know, that's all stuff that we just try to decompress on before we get started. And maybe we didn't do a good enough job of it today. Usually we spend time doing it.
We did pretty good. It was just like I rushed to get here. You know what I mean? Then
I hate that.
I was trying to get here and actually, because normally we do decompress here, and that was my goal: get here and decompress. And
maybe we didn't quite so much today. Yeah. We did a little bit. Yeah, we sat and chatted a little bit.
Yeah.
But we really kind of talked about this stuff.
Yeah.
And kind of other stuff going on. We're like, you know, our
also too, we're recording a day late because
I thought it might actually help to kind of do something different, but it's kind of not.
Yeah. because it was my day yesterday was getting really crazy really fast, and so that I think that has something to do with it too.
Yeah, we knew that at some point this was going to be a sacrifice. Like doing this was going to be a sacrifice, and you know we wanted to we were prepared for that. But then sometimes it's kind of like, are we?
Yeah,
you know, like I don't know, man.
It's like God standing above you, poking his finger at you, like, are you really ready?
Are you really ready? Oh man, I gotta. That guy that I work with that keeps asking me, do you think God's laughing at you yet? I'm like, no, I don't think he's laughing.
He's not laughing at us at all.
I think he's laughing with me.
I'm going to read you something that he will laugh at, though.
You jumping? You're going to dad joke me?
Yeah, I got to. I remember the first time I saw a universal remote. I thought, wow, this changes everything.
Yeah, it does. So bad. That book is bad influence, Jason.
I know, too. And I was just sitting here like I was talking to you, and I was kind of flipping through pages, and I was like, oh.
It changes everything except my attitude. It has a real hard time changing my attitude.
You've seen Click.
Yeah. Oh, whew.
That movie.
That's a tough movie, man.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's good.
It is.
But it's like brings, to me, it kind of ties in with how life really is. Things start to kind of move really fast, and you lose track of the things that are really, really important in life.
Right. It goes right back to something we said not long ago about that song lyric that said, why are we wasting time like somebody's making more?
Yes.
That's exactly what it reminds me
of.
You know, next thing you know, it's you're at the end of your life, and you've missed everything that you hold dear.
Yeah.
You know?
Your kids, your... I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've chosen work over a school function, or because I couldn't afford to take off, or but I look back now and my kids are grown. I'm like,
you know what's starting to kind of come into light for me too is how many times I've chosen work or other things to the detriment of my own health.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm trying to provide for my family and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, what are you going to look like when you're like me, for instance?
With your back issue.
If I'm paralyzed by the time I'm 50 because I refuse to, I can't afford it, or I can't afford to take off. Or
I couldn't afford, look, I blew my knee out, okay? Playing flag football, can you believe that? Anyway, I blew it out bad, dislocated it. A dude actually was over 200 yards away, came walking to me after it happened and said, bro, you need to call an ambulance. I was like, no, I'm okay. And he's like, no, you broke your leg. I heard it from over there. And I was like, I'm good. I walked to my car. I drove myself home. I went to work the next morning. You know what I'm saying? Like, never missed a day at work. Didn't get the surgery. Didn't do any of that stuff. That's why my knee's still jacked up. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's why it still messes with me. I tore my ACL, tore my LCL, tore the meniscus. Like, I messed it up bad. Still never got it done. I just jacked up my arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to get that one done.
There's part of me that's saying the same things I was saying then. I can't afford that.
Well, you got insurance.
It don't pay for everything, man.
No, but dang, it ain't like you got to pay. Look, he's trying to pick up a Cherry 7-Up can right now and grimacing.
You can tell it's like close to my body.
Yeah, well, you look like T-Rex. You look like a
big arms, little head.
Yeah, you look like a T-Rex trying to wipe his rear right now, dude. It's like,
oh, so bad. I get it, and I'm gonna do it.
Yeah,
it's just like
you have to.
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
It's just, I was thinking about that, like how many times
we're at that age now where our bodies aren't as, they're not forgiving anymore. Everything that happens now is forever if you don't take care of it.
That's right. Shoot, my knee's probably forever anyway.
How long has that been?
I was 20.
Yeah, so 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a forever deal.
I'll probably end up having to have knee replacement at some point. Like, it's almost no chance around that.
Yeah, because you want to have to have, I don't know, even know what they do. And they don't have elbow replacement, do they?
I don't know.
Like a prosthetic arm with like robot claws and all that good jazz. Yeah. See, you just tried to imitate. You just tried to imitate what I was saying, and you're like, ow,
ow, that hurt.
No, dude, I'm telling you. And it may be a situation where, like it was with mine. You may be able to get injections, and
yeah, it may be.
It took about. Probably about 6 months total, and then my elbow was like brand new. No surgeries, no nothing.
That's all I'm asking God for. Just don't let it be surgical. Yeah.
They gave me 3 injections. My elbow, my bicep, and my forearm.
All at one time?
Oh, yeah, dude. Woo.
And you're not a sit-still kind of guy.
Mm-mm. No, and I'm not a needle guy either.
All the tattoos on your body, too.
Covered with tattoos, and I'm terrified of needles. And that needle is probably like that long. Mm. And what really got me is, so that lady stuck it in the backside of my elbow first, like right here.
Yeah.
And she stuck it in there, and as she was injecting, she was like twisting it.
Whoa.
Yes.
I bet that hurt.
Yes. And then, so when she got done with that, my elbow was like, looked like a baseball.
And then she goes to go to my bicep, and I was like, oh, you can't move it like that. She's like, I have to.
You're like,
So I'm like this. I turned. I'll fall out.
Right. My dad will too.
She gets my bicep, and she's doing that. And I'm just like, I mean, that hurt worse than the tears.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Those injections. And it hurt for like 3 or 4 hours after that. But then it just started, the swelling started going down. Because, dude, it's all the fluids that they injected you.
Yeah.
It's just like.
It starts to absorb into the blood.
Yeah, and once it starts absorbing and everything, it goes down. But
right.
About 4 or 5 weeks into it, I was mad. Because I had
still hurting.
Yeah, because it was still hurting, and I still couldn't use my arm. And I was really, really mad about it because I had to pay for that out of my pocket. Because it's considered experimental. Insurance won't pay for it. But I'm here to tell you, it works.
Insurance better catch up.
But several more weeks go by, and just kind of like not really even thinking about it, I bend down and I pick up my sprayer. I put it in the back of my pickup, and I got so used to picking it up with my left hand, I'd just kind of bend over and scoop it up, like kind of hang it off the back of my shoulder, mm-hmm. like off my back, like a backpack kind of.
Right.
And just kind of spin around and set it in the back of my truck. I got so used to doing that, that I reached down, just not even thinking, grabbed it with my right hand, picked it up kind of like a duffel bag, and then grabbed it with my left hand. And I was like, whoa. Hey.
That didn't hurt.
Yeah. So, and I kind of babied it for a little bit longer. And then I went in my workout room. And I was like, man, I'm gonna see what I can do. Real light, you know. I started with 10-pound weights. Like hammer curls. Mm-hmm. Kind of done a couple. Felt really good. I was like, yeah, I'll just do a couple sets, see how I feel tomorrow. Did that a little bit, and about a month later, I was back to working out full weight. So, from the time that it started hurting me so bad, I couldn't use it. Now, I didn't have a problem with grip. Yeah. Mine was just lifting, picking things up, pushing myself away from stuff.
Yeah.
Like, to push myself up off the couch to get up or something like that.
Yeah, that motion, pushing doesn't hurt. It's pulling.
Yeah.
And like that.
I didn't have the grip, but I had the pull, the push, and the curl. That killed me.
Yeah, curl, I can't do that.
But mine was this way on my bicep, this way in my forearm. And then this one, the one down here was, that one wasn't a tear. It was something, I don't remember what, I'd have, you know, how I am anyways. I forget everything.
Well, you know, it's kind of like we were talking about the movie Click, and now, like, next thing you know, time flies by, and, you know, I mean, I'm 44, you know what I mean? And I'm like, you know, you think middle age, so you think roughly 80 years or something like that. That's still quite a lot of time, but is it, though?
I'd be lucky to see 30 more years.
I mean, seriously.
In all honesty, I'll be 74 in 30 years.
Yeah. I would be
amazed.
I've seen people live a lot longer than that. They've done a lot worse things, so.
I'm just saying, man, that's.
Keith Richards is like 100, and that dude. Sucking Aaron through garden hose.
Well.
I mean, is what it is, but. I don't know. I just kind of, hopefully even talking about it motivates not only us, but others to like be a little more intentional with their time in prayer and intentional with their time and in how are you going to get to know God if you don't spend time with him, if you don't spend time in his word?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I know that the word is confusing.
That's sometimes. Why I let it read to me. And if it's 90% of the time, I pick it up while it's reading. I can pick it up. But if a part of it loses me, I'm like, Then I go back and I'll let it read to me, but I'm reading it while it reads to me. Then if I can't pick it up, then usually I'll send you a text. Or
right. Well, and same thing. Like my son, I told you he's spending, or Aiden, I told you he's spending time in the Word, and he hits me up with scripture that he reads, and he's like, "Whoa, dude! Like, can you help me understand this?" Or, you know, whatever. And thankfully he's doing that because it makes me think a little bit more. And he sent me some scripture the other day because it kind of bothered him. And I'll read it to everybody. It's in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 29. This is the one that only shows me one verse at a time. I don't like that. I want it to show me the whole chapter, but I don't want to pick up my phone. So this is a story about, and this is Jesus talking to a Gentile woman, right? And you'll hear it, and you'll know exactly what's kind of got his attention. Jesus left Galilee and went to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. No kidding. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. And she begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter, since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Phoenicia. Jesus told her, "First, I should feed my children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." This is where it starts getting tripped up a little bit. She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates." He told her, "Good answer. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And really what kind of discouraged him a little bit was, like, he referred to Gentiles as dogs. Right. And my initial thought processes were like, we have to understand that Jesus always knew who he was talking to. Right. He knew who she was. He knew her thoughts. Right. He also knew who was watching. Right. And the Jews, because they are the chosen, right? It's called this in the Old Testament. They are the chosen people of God. Do look at everybody outside of the Jews as lower than themselves, right? Thus dogs, right? And some people don't recognize that we aren't meant to be separate from Jews. We're actually meant to be folded into them, right? And he knew that she would know that about Jews, and he is Jewish,
yeah,
right? So I think in a way he was kind of mocking that thought process of the Jewish people for them to see,
yeah,
as well as to her. And then also he was challenging her to prove her faith.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you're lower than my people. Why would I help you above them? Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's always going to come through faith. Go ahead. Something's on your mind.
So, did you ever notice how Jesus always speaks in parables, basically? Like, it's always, he never answers a question.
He always answers a question. He's a God. He answers a question with a question or a story.
Yeah, every question's answered with a story.
Yep.
He dodges every bullet that way.
Is he, though?
What I'm saying is, like, you look at all the events leading up to the crucifixion when they were trying to catch him.
Yeah.
They're asking him questions. You know, if you are who you say you are, you know, yada, 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 this, that, and the other. And he answers it with a story. He never blatantly comes out and says, "Yeah, I am. You know, I can do this because I am the Messiah," and stuff like that. He never really comes out. He always just kind of feeds them a story.
Yeah, he kind of does, though. And there is in John, I don't know where, there is something that he says when he says, "I am," that is literally him basically, not basically, really, again, this is a contextual thing. We have to remember context. remember the time that he was speaking in and who he was speaking to. And like, I am is God is the great I am. Right. Yeah. And so when he says I am in this context, he's literally saying I am him.
Yeah.
I am him, which is now a saying for people who are supposedly good at what they do. I'm him.
I am him. Yeah.
I'm him. But anyway, but you know what I mean? So like, yeah, I get what you're saying, but he's trying to talk to people at their level, I think. Yeah. I think that's a lot of it. He's and you know, Jewish you, always learn everything through stories.
Yeah, you'd have to kind of, I guess, be alive at that time to really get the true concept of
the full context.
Yeah, how he's speaking to them and why he's speaking that way. Because, right. like you just said, now I am him. Is a completely different meaning.
That means I'm a bad A or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And so to hear that nowadays, you'd be like, get out of here. But back then,
yeah,
to hear that, everybody be like,
what's that guy? You know the one I'm talking about. He goes to college campuses and stands on the.
Yes.
He's the one that pointed out this scripture in John. And he does a really good job of describing it and explaining
the older curly hair.
Yeah. And explaining tall, skinny why guy. He says I am means he's literally admitting at this point, I am the Messiah. I am the one, I am the chosen. I am the one you've been waiting for, you know? And I get what you were trying to say. He says he dodges every bullet. I think some people might take that though into context saying
he's avoiding
the question or whatever.
No, he just never like he's slick. I mean, he's slick. He's slick and savage, you know. Yes.
I
mean,
I see a savage, man. That is so savage. Some of the responses, it's just like how God or Christ taught us to combat the enemy. You know what I mean? The enemy whispers something into his ear, and that's the other evidence. He's like, you know, if you are the Messiah, you know, if you are the Son of God, then, you know, it says that you can jump off this cliff and not even a stone will scratch your foot or whatever. And he's like, go ahead. And he's like, you shouldn't tempt the Lord.
God, thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Yeah. Man cannot eat by bread alone.
It doesn't matter. Jesus is going to come back and stomp him anyways.
That's the kind of we talked about the militant Jesus not long ago. And, you know, like about how these Pharisees wanted the militant Jesus. But do you know what that means for you?
It's over. It's game over.
Yeah. Mm-mm. I don't want the militant Jesus.
So that's another thing that I found very interesting about the service on Sunday.
Okay.
When they talk about the rapture,
yes, sir,
and the 7 years of tribulation and all that stuff, I'm sure a lot of people understand this, but what a lot of new followers, people that aren't really dedicating their life. I mean, I'm not saying I'm dedicating my life 100% to Christ. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying like the people that are kind of new to this, the people that haven't dedicated their lives, what they don't understand is if you don't go in the rapture, it's hell on earth.
You got to be here for that.
Yeah, and that's no bueno.
I don't want to be here.
No. The plagues, the famines, the
it's worse all, than anything you can think of.
It's hell on earth.
I mean, essentially, yeah.
Yes, it's hell on earth.
I want to be coming with Jesus when he comes back.
Yeah.
With my sword. I'm coming with you.
I help you.
I'll stand right on. I'll stand right next to you.
I'm a good helper.
Yeah. I'll stand right in front of you if I have to, you know. Man, some of that stuff gets really complicated.
Revelations is very, very hard for me to understand.
You and most everybody, and people spend a lot of time studying.
Well, what I would caution someone about is
don't spend so much of your time in that, because that's kind of,
yeah,
that's like the doom and gloom,
yeah,
to me. And that's how I see it. It's like it the is. Doom and gloom. So if you're really wanting to kind of get into the Bible and you're really wanting to kind of get start, like get into something that gives you hope, start in the Gospels. Psalm, absolutely. A psalm a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Keeps
Proverbs, you know, a Proverbs. Or I mean, stay in something. There's that's
31 chapters of Proverbs. So you could do one a day for a month.
Yeah.
And get through it in a month. Yeah, some months too. In yeah. Two in 1 week. But
it would be, it'd be really, those are the ones that really kind of are, I like Acts too. Romans, cannot go wrong with Romans.
No. I would tell you, like, even Revelation is actually good news. But just like in anything else in life, what you seek, you will find, right? If you go into reading your Bible looking for, quote, inconsistencies or, quote, contradictions, you'll find a way to make it contradictory.
Yeah.
If you go into it looking for wrath, you'll find wrath. Yeah. If you go into it looking for peace, you'll find peace. No matter which book you're reading. Wisdom, you know what I'm saying? It's wisdom. it's really goes back to the heart issue.
Yeah.
Where's your heart at? And when you spend so much time concerning yourself with when is Christ coming, how are you preparing yourself that yeah. way?
Well, also, too, you're not living your full life here if you're worried about when is he coming. You're not living to your full potential, because no one knows anyways.
Nope.
I mean, as far as it's written, it'll happen in the generation when Israel becomes a nation. Or whatever.
Since it became a nation. Yeah. I question that a little bit, though, because what's the definition of a nation?
Yeah.
Because
it's the 60s or 70s, 50s or 60s when
it became
Israel,
a country. But the thing to me, and look, there'll be people, if they hear this, that are dedicated to it, that will completely argue with me, and that's fine. But I question this, because they were called the nation of Israel before that, long time ago, back in the Abraham days, the nation of Israel.
Yeah.
When did they become a nation? We're thinking of it as a country. They have a homeland. They are a country. It's a nation, like the nation of the United States. Yeah. You know what I mean? Is that the context? I don't know.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to have to prove that out to me to help me understand it, because I don't know that.
But I think that may be part of the mystery of no one will know the time or the day.
Nope. Not even the Son knows the time, but the Father. No one knows but the Father, right? God, Christ himself said, I don't know. As the human version of God, I don't know. You know what I mean? And that's why I choose not to focus my attention on that so much. Yeah. And, yeah, don't get me wrong. I don't want to get into the politics. I don't want to talk about necessarily what's going on in Israel and all that stuff. Like, I don't want those things
it
to
sure
be happening.
It sure looks like this is
yeah,
it's coming sure. up. You yeah, know what
for
I mean?
Sure. I don't want to necessarily talk about all that. I hate the fact that there's war in the world. I hate the fact that there are people dying.
I hate the fact that there's so much. And it's been going on for so long.
Yeah. Well, that thing between Israel and
Hamas.
Palestine, and, well, they call it Palestine, but it's not Palestine, it's Hamas.
Hamas, yeah.
Which is a terrorist group. But the Israel-Palestine thing has been going on for generations, yeah, man, for thousands of years.
I think what a lot of people fail to understand here is that none of this with Israel and Hamas, none of these catastrophes happening through Gaza and all that stuff would be happening if it wasn't for the attack that Hamas,
yeah.
I mean, they were the aggressors.
Yeah, they stuck it up their rear.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And so Israel said, oh, hold my beer, watch this. You know, and
what did we do whenever the towers fell?
Yeah, the exact same thing.
I wouldn't expect anybody else to do anything different. You're defending yourself.
What I hate is that's happening, and this Russia Ukraine thing is still happening, because
God, you don't even hear about the Russia Ukraine anything anymore.
No, I
still happening.
Yeah, but I forgot all about it till today when I saw, I guess, some U.S. supplied missiles or rockets or whatever took down a bunch of SU-37s or.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, yeah, forgot about that.
It's still happening. Yeah. Oh, forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Well, and you know.
Anyways, that's going to lead somewhere else, but.
It goes back to that conversation we had with Tanner a couple of weeks ago. Like, you know, wars have been going on forever.
Over there.
It's never not been in conflict, it doesn't seem like. You know what
They've
I mean?
They've been fighting for existence, basically.
That's how I feel about it.
And to be quite honest, as much as Christians are so highly disagreed with, now, it's going to start happening in our country, too, because, you know, it's the freedom of speech, and we are who we are. You give us your poor and your sick, and we will make a nation of it. You know what I mean? Like, that's who we are. But you would have to think if like, Canada and Mexico basically have the same Christian beliefs. You know what I mean? Now, if we were backed up to Syria... Yeah. We'd be fighting with them for generations too.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this isn't technically where we originated from, but you have to kind of see that. If we were backed up to
if our neighbor was Saudi Arabia,
yeah.
And
or Iraq or Iran or dude,
we would be in conflict.
We'd be constantly at war.
Yep.
I don't know that we would, like, per se, Russia. A lot of them are, like, hardcore Orthodox Christian and stuff like that. But,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what you would think would happen there. Other than
I don't know what would happen if we were backed up to Russia. I mean, because we used to be allies and now we're not. I don't know. That whole thing is really complicated. It's like a marriage. Honestly, yeah. It's like on again, off again sometimes, yeah. And it's like any other relationship, though.
But that's also part of that politic thing that you're talking about, and that's not something that we can control, nor is it something that we should worry about. You know,
I don't focus on it because, for one,
unless the war is brought to my home front, I pray for the people.
Yeah, and that it's affecting. I'll support where I
do anything I can, but that's not what I'm focusing my energy on. I'm sorry,
I'm not. How do I spend my time focused on that? You know what I mean?
When we have homeless veterans in the streets. We have veterans killing themselves. What is it, like 22 an hour?
It's a
horrific number.
Our education system's terrible.
But the people that fought for our freedom are dying at astonishingly alarming rates due to suicide. We have a fentanyl epidemic that's killing the youth at an astronomical rate that people can't even fathom.
Yep.
We have we have basically an open border system where I'm not gonna single this out by a religion or a race. I'm saying criminals are crossing our border and killing our wives and daughters and sons. And you look at all the things that are happening here. It's hard to just really stay 100% engaged with the war that's happening in a country that they've been fighting for centuries.
They've never stopped fighting. It doesn't
seem like. They've been fighting since the existence of time.
Our education system is broken. Our
terrible
correction system is broken.
Our news channels are crap.
Our media is broken. Our policing systems are broken. All these things are broken. You know,
look at what's happening at college campuses right now.
It's getting so rough that before too long, you're not going to have any police because nobody wants to do it anymore. Yeah. You're not going to have any teachers because they don't want to do it anymore.
At then, what happens then?
I wanted to be a teacher. What happened to me? I stopped because I saw what was coming. I'm like, I'm not doing that because that's not a family. That's not a living that I can raise my family on. You know what I mean? That I could support my family on. You know what I mean? And on top of how difficult it is to be a teacher anymore, you know what I mean? We teach to test anymore. We don't teach. We don't teach kids how to live life anymore.
I grew up in high school. I learned, you know, I failed my I can't remember what it is. It's like basically like a computer class. I failed it because I couldn't type and keep my eyes on the screen.
Yeah.
And I still do it to this day.
Chicken peck. I still pretty much do that too.
But I failed a computer class because of that. I had ICCA, ICCS, whatever it is, basically like DECA. It was like a job program. When I was in that, they taught me how to balance a checkbook.
Yep.
I got out of school at 1155, 1145, 1140, something like that, somewhere around in that range, to go to work. They taught me how to balance a checkbook. They taught me like you go through your taxes. They didn't teach me how to file my taxes, but they taught me like what the taxes meant, stuff like that. Everything to do with the job. Yeah. Like what to do with your, like, you know, like the difference between an IRA and a 401k and ESOP and all this stuff. Like that's the stuff that I learned.
Yeah. So yeah, they used to teach kids how to, you know, acclimate to life outside of school. And really, you know, I was talking about how, you know, before too long, they're going to run out of cops because people don't want the job. They're going to run out of teachers because people don't want the job. And a lot of people will equate that to money. And that's a big part
of it. That's not what it's about. It's about the liability and back in the day when you were in school, you always looked at your teachers like, dang, man, they're so smart. Kids don't do that no more.
No.
There's no respect. Like,
no. No. Kids, of course, always think that they know better than you, but, you know, they've got to the point where, again, the other thing, too, like, it only takes an accusation for a male to lose a career. And something that kind of turned me off was being in a place where there was a young woman when Terry and I first started dating. We were at a bar or a restaurant, something like that, and this young lady couldn't have been too far out of high school, maybe 3-4, maybe she was 22-ish. Of course, I was much younger and much more attractive, I guess, but she made comments about, oh, you're going to be one of them guys, one of them teachers, you know, then like making accusations like, I'm going to do things with young girls, and I was like... You know, that hurt my heart because I would never do that. You know, first and foremost. Secondly, all I have to do is piss off a teenage girl or a little girl, young, your prepubescent girl, and she can say that I did something, and then that's all it takes.
A whole investigation gets launched. Now your career's tainted. Even if nothing happens of it, your career's tainted because...
Right. And so, you know... There needs to be strong men in the world. I am that guy. I am of that thought. I'm of that process, thought process.
That's also part of the devaluation of men.
Yeah, kind of goes back to something we talked about not long ago about, you know, being devalued as men. Like, and again, some of that's our own fault, right? Oh, yeah. It's our own fault for cultivating it now, and now we want to take it back, and it's getting to where it looks like it's too late. But in the right situation, it's not.
Yeah.
But not as a teacher. I can't do it.
No.
I still get scared sometimes doing it in the church. I really do. And they put a lot of safeguards in place to make sure that, like, something like that can't happen. Like,
yeah.
There's always a female in my presence. Like, yeah. I can't be left alone with kids when there's not a female around. You know what I'm saying?
It's like protocol for...
Yeah.
The church.
And that's, again, that's a liability situation because they don't need an accusation either.
Yeah.
Because if an accusation happens, guess what?
Yeah, and they need a witness.
That's right. And they got cameras in every room. Like, it's not like they don't have visual. Like, if something were to happen, they can visually see it. But, yeah, it's sad that it's like that, but I understand why it's like that. You know what I mean?
All they'd have to worry about with me is like an elbow check. Like, you better, boy, don't talk to me like that.
There are times when it's difficult because kids nowadays don't feel like they have to be accountable, right?
Yeah, I'm totally just kidding. I'm just trying to make light of a situation, but
Well,
this is going to be an interesting. This is going to be a very interesting release. I'm not sure. We went in a lot of places that are a little bit out there for us, for sure.
Also, too, I want to apologize for being a little distracted. I guess it happens.
Me too. You know, I hope that we gave some encouragement.
I really want to also reiterate the fact of how much we appreciate the reaching out.
Yes. I hope more and more take the
example. We're not getting a lot of that, and it's very brave and very appreciated of you to have done it twice, and especially such an intimate, you know.
That's a deep cut. That's an interesting
cut. That's a very, very, I mean, you're putting yourself out there, not name and stuff, clearly, but the bravery it takes to talk about a situation like that. I mean, that's amazing. I don't have that much courage.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I was going to say is, like, how difficult is that? I can't imagine. They already feel shame. He or she is already feeling shame. It's obviously a male. He's feeling shame already. And to put that into word form and send it out to people that are pretty much strangers, they know us only through listening to this. I'm trying to talk myself through that, like, you know, what would that,
Hard time talking to you about my day sometimes.
I know. Okay. Could I hit send on that email? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Once I got,
I don't know that I would.
Sometimes just putting it out there is enough, or putting it on something, you know, typing it out is enough.
You know, man, it's very interesting you say that, because we talked about it in church, confessing of the thing. You can't expect God to heal you if you're still holding on to it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's kind of what we talked about that knot on the table.
And it's very interesting that's getting brought up again, especially with this. Considering the fact that I just got through talking to you about something that we have been talking about reading, I'm not going to really give up a whole lot on that.
Yeah.
I just got through talking to you about that and asking you, were you prepared for any kind of backlash given what has happened to you in your past? And shame on me for...
Yeah.
Bringing that up in such a way.
Well,
you know what I mean? Like,
no,
I didn't mean to be like reminding you of, like, oh, hey, well, remember last time. You know what I mean? See what I'm saying?
Right. Okay. So we're going to refer to it because that's going to take place in the episode prior to this. If we're going to do it, I'm assuming we're going to.
Yeah, we are.
There was some negative feedback that came our direction, and we talked about it in our podcast recording. And through kind of getting through that, I actually wrote something. I would call it a poem. I'm not sure it would be recognized as a poem because it's not really written in, like, it's written more rhythmically than it is rhyming. But I don't think it makes any sense if you just read it to yourself. Like, you have to hear it the way it comes out of my head.
Yeah.
And so, like, that kind of coincides with episode 21 I think we're going to do it. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, you don't have to remind me of my past experience. I already know.
Right? I know, like, but that's what I'm, what I'm saying is, shame on me for we've been saying that we're going to leave it there. And then I'm like, hey.
Yeah.
Wait, remember last time?
Are you sure you're comfortable with that?
Yeah. That's not me being, I'm not being very supportive in that.
Yeah. I get that. But you know what? It's cool. Understand. And I think what a way to get past it finally.
Yeah.
Right. What a way for me to get past it than to
air it out,
and to not just put it in front of somebody that I care about, but to put it out for the whole world. If they want
anybody that comes across it to be able to watch it. I mean, that's an unlimited supply right there.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not saying that it can reach every single human in existence, because there's a lot of these little desolate tribes and stuff that have never seen a cell phone or
know nothing of any of this stuff, and
it's a hell of a lot more than one or two. You know what I'm saying? Like, that discouraged me so bad that one or two people would be discouraging about it that it's kept me from sharing a lot of that stuff with people. You know what I mean? Now, when I read it to you guys the other day and your reaction, I read it to Terry first the night before that, and it actually made her cry, which shocked me. I didn't expect that at all. No. Honestly, because it's written really strangely that I wasn't sure that it would catch.
It's also on the stout side. It's kind of like, it's kind of aggressive. It's very aggressive.
Really is.
You know, I don't know how to say it, because I want to be like, oh, it's so aggressive in a passive aggressive way, but that's not. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense.
But I'm saying? Like, but I can get where she would have emotion about it. Because when you were reading it, I was like, I'm in amazement. My wife is in amazement.
I can't tell you how hard that
one
was.
One of the two-time guest speakers on our podcast was there, and he was amazed.
Yeah, that was hard. Yeah. That was hard. To stand,
you stood up there with your cojones in your hand and let her rip, tater chip.
There was five.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was hard, but I did it. And so you hit us in the middle of this for a dad joke. You got another one, brother?
I do.
Go with it.
Okay. I had a dream. I had a dream I was a muffler last night. I woke up exhausted.
So stupid.
I don't know what's dumber, the joke or the fact that I get so much pleasure out of reading them.
Hey, you know what? Simple pleasures, baby. That's all good. This just kind of, it makes sense, this one right here. Cheryl Strayed, I think. Bravery is acknowledging your fear and doing it anyway.
Oof. So that reminds me of something.
Sir.
Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the presence of fear, but having the strength to do it anyways. That's exactly
what that is.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it goes back to what we were just talking about 5 minutes ago about, am I ready to do that? Am I ready to put something out there that's coming out of my heart? And this comes out of my heart too, don't get me wrong, but this is a little bit more personal, a little bit more intimate. It's wordsmithing, as my youngest son would say, and I don't put that out there for people very often. No, I've never put it out there for people, so yeah, it's a little apprehensive, but I'm prepared to do it.
Yeah, and I think it'll be out there.
I think it's necessary. So oh man,
welcome to a very unusual episode.
I can't wait to go back and listen. This is gonna be so fun. It'll be different, but you know, you guys keep interacting with us. Our email, bswunbound80@gmail.com, and our Facebook, John_and_JasonBSW, Instagram, bumper_sticker_wisdom. We're on YouTube. We're on Spotify. We're on RSS.com, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and a plethora of others. Reach us how you can. I have found that people cannot interact with us anymore through like Spotify comments. I think that has to do with, because we're using RSS as a deliverer of our thing, but you can comment on YouTube if you choose to.
TikTok
as well, you can comment, and then of course our Instagram, Facebook, and email, you can interact with us any way you want to. So
send us a message and let us help you.
Yeah. Ask questions. If there's something you want to hear us talk about, we want to
absolutely
do it. Yeah,
that for sure. I mean, we're scratching the bottom of the barrel trying to get something that we think will be appealing, and trying to keep from hitting the same gears every week, you know. And
I want to send a special thank you to our anonymous friend who has emailed us a couple times, and really
has brought a lot of insight into the personal things that people are dealing with. And I'm not going to separate it by sex, like man or woman. I'm going to say it simply as human.
Yeah.
We all deal with things. I'm sure women deal with lustful desires and
right.
and dreams and stuff like that.
Thank you so much for having the
courage. For the courage to reach out and really remind us that we are human and that everybody, no matter how good, big or small, still dealing with issues. You know, Jesus loves you.
Yes, sir.
We love you.
Ooh, we love you.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm Jason.
And I'm John.